All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Par None podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Hernandez, my co-host, PJR, as usual. We've made it past the barrier of seven. We talked about that last week. Seven's kind of the magic number. This is episode eight. So like we've said from the beginning, we're here for the long haul. You know, it takes like 50 episodes to even figure out what a podcast is. So we are just getting started. This is like the preamble to the table of contents. Like, we're not even in to the meat of things yet. But anyways, all that aside, we are on Instagram. We are on YouTube. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. Like, Amazon. Follow, subscribe. Yes, Amazon. Drop us. I mean, like, we're actually behind these accounts. We don't have a team. It's just us two. Like, we record, and then I literally upload it myself. PGA does the Instagram stuff. We are the ones running the accounts. So please comment, like, share. Like, it helps the two of us. There's nobody else doing it. So we respond. We want to engage with you guys. Get the word out there. Whatever you do, you know, the like, comment, share speech that you hear on every podcast that isn't like wildly successful yet. So please do that. It does help us. I didn't think so. I remember hearing those things and being like, I don't think leaving a review really does help. And now that I'm on the other side, I see that it actually does really help get the word out there. So the more that we get rated well, the more Apple or Amazon or Instagram or pick your social platform person will put that in the eyes of other people. So you guys know the spiel. We appreciate the support, so don't forget to do that. Just hit like follow, and then Apple will literally send you a reminder when our episodes come out. So, yeah, that's my little spiel about that. I'm gonna let PGR run with the match play recap because I played in a golf tournament this weekend. And so I pretty much missed all of the good stuff. I watched the early stuff. From Wednesday to Friday, I watched a lot of coverage, but then like when it really mattered, I didn't get to see a ton. So I may trail off here as soon as we get into like the weekend of it, because I just did not watch a ton. So thoughts on the match play? Go, PJR.
Awesome. Thank you, man. It was awesome. And like, I don't know, it really worked out really, really well. So out the gate, pulling for Ricky Fowler. He took down Rahm. So yeah, that was incredible. Even though Ricky didn't make it to the quarterfinals, he still has a chance this week to potentially win the Valero. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Valero in a little bit, about maybe him winning and placing or winning and getting into the Masters. But no, it was a wild week. You know, you saw Rahm got taken down. Kisner got knocked out really, really quickly, which was kind of upsetting. But you can tell he's going through some experiments in his bag. Jason Day played amazing. And he is actually eligible for the Masters now, which is incredible because I think that he is going to make a solid run for it. I've been saying that for a few weeks now. I think he is going to be in the hunt for the Masters. I think his worst finish this year is like T18 or something like that. He's playing really good, steady, consistent golf. His putter is working for him again, which I don't know how much everybody remembers when J-Day was on top. His putting was spectacular. So him good. And those dead arm wedge shots, you know what I mean? He's money with those. And he seems to be back in his old form. And I found out today he's only 35 years old. I did not know that. I thought he was like 38. And I'm sorry, J-Day. I just assumed you were older. I don't know why.
He's younger than me, which is embarrassing.
She's only 2 years. He's my wife's age. So that gives her a semblance of hope, I guess. But he played great. He got taken down by Scheffler. So let's just kind of get into the thick of it here.
Yeah.
Rory has the half inch shorter driver in his bag and the new Scotty, and it performed exceptionally well. In driving 18, he flew it like 340 onto the green and put it to like 5 feet.
That was wild.
He was putting phenomenally all week. This is the first time I've really seen Rory really ready to be in the Masters. It seems like every year leading into the Masters, he's lacking here, lacking there. I really do think he's in form for it.
Yeah.
But I really hope they bring back some form of match play next year. I know this was supposed to be the last one. I'm actually amazed that Dell can even sponsor anything anymore. Like, what do they do? But you know, I was hoping for a Scheffler Rory face off, and I got it, just didn't get it the way that I wanted it.
I know.
So we had Sam Burns and Young, where Sam Burns got his fifth win on tour, and he just demolished Cam Young. I felt bad for him too, for Cam Young, because another second place finish. Like, how many follow-ups? How many second places is he going to get?
Right.
But he's shown he can compete with the best of them. I think he's going to be kind of like a Scheffler, where once he gets that first win, it's going to open up the floodgates for him. And he has such a physical advantage over everybody. Right. So once he can learn to win, it's going to be deadly. Scheffler and Rory took him down. And this is why it is so important that Rory took him down. This is two times now that Rory and Scheffler have gone head to head, and Rory has won. So now that's in Scheffler's head. He goes down the stretch against Rory again. That's the one guy he hasn't been able to take down yet.
Right.
And we're going to see it again at some point in the future. That gives Rory a huge edge, other than the fact that he's freaking Rory McIlroy. But that is massive. That is a massive accomplishment for Rory, taking down the number one in the world. I think he's ranked number two now by doing this. Rom, all due respect to Rom, he looked like hot garbage this week. And, you know, you beginning of the year, you liked him for the Masters. Now I'm not so much, you know, don't think he has the form. I don't think the putter's working the way he wants it to going into Augusta. So the match play was absolutely fantastic. You got Sam Burns getting another win. I mean, he doesn't overpower the course. He just hits great shots consistently. And he's such a good guy. Happy to see him win. Rory McIlroy taking down Scheffler is huge. Yeah. Living rent-free in his head now. It was all in all just a fantastic, fantastic week for golf. And it was exciting. It was fun to watch. There's a lot of great moments. You know, there's like Cam Young almost had a hole-in-one on his worst golf shot of the year. I don't know if you saw that clip.
I didn't see that, yeah.
Par three, he pulled it way up. And it almost went in the hole. And then he was going against Kitayama, who drained the birdie putt before him, which is like, okay, at least the karma like balanced out quickly. And Cam Young didn't have that lingering over him for the rest of the tournament, you know?
Yeah.
It was great. It was a great tournament. I think it's a great way to get these guys jacked up and ready. Rory with the driver was spectacular. Like, all the shitty things we said about Stealth 2, he just went a half inch short and he was bombing at 340. So if Rory can do what he did this week at the Masters, I think he's going to contend. I mean, how could he not? You know what right. I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know, we did put Stealth 2 through the ringer a little bit last week, but we also, you know, to be fair to Stealth 2, we kind of put Rory and just professional golfers through the ringer a little bit too, just with all of the like, hey man, like you're a professional golfer. Like, you guys need to be able to get your equipment figured out.
Get your shit figured out.
Yeah, so it may show that it's more, you know, the player than the equipment at when you get to that level, you know. I certainly think there's something to be said for that, and I don't know how much the equipment makes a difference when you can play like those guys can play. I mean, you certainly want it top of the line, but when you're comparing, you know, apples to apples when it's Scheffler and Rory, again, I don't know how much different their equipment really affects them as much as how they play the game, the intricacies of it, their game plan. Are they executing? Are they hitting their lines? Is their putter hot? Those kinds of things. It's a shame that match play is going away. Match play is such a good format. And I wish it wasn't dying out, because it used to be obviously the main way that golf was played. And so the fact that it's always kind of been one of my, negatives about golf, or at least the PGA Tour, is like at every other level, you see a lot of different game types being played. So even in college, you'll have match play or different, these two-man teams or different things. And it's just like every week after week after week on the PGA Tour is stroke play, until you get to like maybe an event like this or an event that doesn't matter, which unfortunately is always seems, you know, like the PNC, everybody loves watching it, but it doesn't really do, you know, it's not really for anything until you get to the Ryder Cup and then these or the President's Cup, which are massive events that we wait, you know, all year for, every other year for. And they're all different types of things. So I don't know why we don't do that more at the PGA Tour level. I'm not part of the PGA Tour, but I wish they did that. You know, I wish there was more of that competitional diversity. It's a big word. I'd love to see match play more, or, you know, those kinds of things. Even alternate. I love alternate shot. I wish there was more alternate shot golf. I don't know why, but I want to play more alternate shot golf. I love watching it for some reason. I don't know what it is, but I just like cannot get enough of alternate shot. It's so cool. So I wish we did more of that, or I wish the PGA Tour did more of that. But.
And going back to Rory, just kind of going off topic of the match play a little bit here. Did you see what he had to say about the rollback of the golf ball? What his opinion on it was?
No, I did. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty interesting take. It's pretty obviously an unpopular opinion.
I don't disagree with him. Don't disagree with what he's saying. He's right. You absolutely will. But I don't disagree with what he said. I still disagree with the rollback. And here's another thing that I kind of thought of after he said it. Because Tiger had been talking about rolling back the golf ball for a while now. So I think if they would have listened to Tiger back in the day, it wouldn't have been a big deal. The issue that I have with Rory saying that, it goes back to Rory being the latest puppet of the PGA Tour. And I'm not saying that's what he did here. I'm not saying this isn't an authentic opinion. Right. I'm not saying it either way, because I'm a huge Rory guy. I'm ride or die Rory. I always have been. I grew up watching this play. I've modeled my golf swing after him. He's a great guy. I love how he carries himself. Love the dude. But he is definitely kind of taking the lead as far as, you know, being the face of the PGA Tour and everything like that. And I think what's going to happen here is they're going to take his word over, like his vote is the equivalent of 1,000 votes. Mm. And they have Tiger's vote, who is equivalent of like 10,000 votes. You know what I mean? So I feel like they're going to pay more attention to the two people than they are the population of golfers, which is unbelievably unfair. I have a really bad metaphor for it. I mean, if you kind of look at how things are in the world now, you know what I mean? Everything seems to serve that top one or two people, and then everyone else has to kind of just ride that wave out. And I feel like that is unfair. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the fact that the golf ball companies are pushing back against it, but we've already kind of talked about that. But I thought it was interesting, Rory, to come out and say that, just because of all everything that's in the water right now. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's right. Golfers hitting long irons again, it's going to show you who the good golfers and the bad golfers are. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these guys drop out of the top 10 with it. Yeah. But then again, a lot of these young guys, all they've ever played with is modern equipment. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to go put them in a golf ball that came out in the 90s? Like they were born in the freaking 90s. Like this has never crossed their mind. They've never learned how to play these things. So give Morikawa, a guy that already isn't long on tour, a golf ball that was made when he was born. Like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. No, I totally see that. Another, you know, kind of like piggybacking off that, I heard a really interesting argument that I really didn't think about when we were filming last week was, you know, a lot of these like guys who are either amateurs trying to become pros or are playing like really serious amateur golf or low level pro golf, you know, like, are you going to ask them to play two different kinds of balls based on what tournament they're? I mean, like, it's easy when
we did talk about that.
Well, a little bit, but I just thought just like expanded of like, well, are they going to have two different sets of equipment? Are they going to have two different sets of balls? And then you're like asking them to spend all this money because, you know, like amateur golfers aren't sponsored or anything like that. And that gets into a really interesting, I think, just dynamic of, you know, like if half the tournaments you play are going to be modern and half of them are going to be rolled back. And now I've got to have all these options for how I'm going to play different things. Not to say that it wouldn't improve your golf game a little bit, but at the same time, I just think it does open up a very interesting argument of like, well, what, you know, what are you going to then require of these guys to have with them or available to them at their own expense or at the expense of, you know, it's easy for Tiger Woods because he's going to get everything for free and be able to test as much as he wants. It's, you know, a guy like you who's trying to go be a, you know, a high level golfer, like all that comes out of your own pocket. Nobody's sending you stuff. You know what I mean? And I just think that's interesting to be like, well, you know, do you have to cart or do I have to cart two sets of clubs or, you know, 47 dozen golf balls? Because I don't know what the rule is going to be this weekend versus next weekend, I think it can get a little, has the potential to get out of control as far as just like when it filters down to these other levels.
Well, also too, it kind of opens up the door a little bit with, okay, so now is it going to be Titleist is going to have their 90s version of the ball, TaylorMade their version of the ball. The way I see it is, I mean, this sounds really, really dramatic, is if you are, you know, if you're going to roll back the golf ball, then make them all play the same damn ball. Just make it easy. Give them all, like, this is the golf ball. You are all playing it. You all have the, it's boom. The problem I have with that is, though, is when does this stop?
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay, so now all of a sudden they found a way around that. Like, okay, well, you know, now we're going to start reeling back the driver a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to start reeling back. Well, you can't have this kind of shaft anymore. Or it's like, okay, so like, so that's the thing that I'm afraid of is like with anything else is the moment you pass a law or a rule that does something like this, you open up the door for other rules and laws like that to get passed. Mm-hmm. So when does it stop? I mean, you're opening the floodgates here to potentially a lot of other rollbacks and a lot of other rules that a lot of people are going to disagree with. And Rahm even said it. He's like, my question is, golf, you keep saying golf's in the best place it's ever been. Why are you going to change it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's we're kind of saying things we said last week, but I'm still kind of heated about it. I want to know the verdict. I'm very anxious to know what direction this is going to go in. So, but yeah, anyways, golf ball rollback, I think is a terrible idea. Match play, phenomenal. Rory stomping Scheffler, and Sam Burns getting another win, which is awesome. Another win for Paradigm, baby. Right. Like, so,
what is that, 7 or 8 now?
This week,
wild.
Is 7 out of 11 now?
Yeah,
I gotta look. I'm starting to lose count how many tournaments the Paradigm Driver has won. You know, it's getting way up there.
Well, it also won on the DP World Tour this week and the Champions Tour this week, so that's wild.
Oh, did it really? Yeah. I did not know that. That is crazy.
I know. Crazy.
Also, this we had Matt Wallace, which I've always been a big fan of Matt Wallace. He runs a little hot. And he's just, I like watching temper players because they're so entertaining. It's like watching Terrell Hatton play. I love watching him play golf. Yeah. You could have him mic'd up every round. I am in.
Yeah.
I am in all day, every day. I will watch just him play golf.
Although it'd only be available on like HBO because of his language. You have to pay for
so
it.
Awesome.
Pay-per-view only.
By the way, they don't smell on TV that much. Is it like, we have this, like every time he hits a golf ball, it just... All the sound gets muted immediately.
Exactly right.
But Matt Wallace won at the Corrales Punta Cana, which was awesome. And what's so cool about him winning, other than it being his maiden voyage win on the PGA Tour, he's had 4 wins on the DP World Tour, is at the Valspar, there was a little tiff between him and his caddy. I mean, it got a little heated. Like, Wallace was pissed off.
Yeah.
They'd forgotten about it by the end of the round because they're professionals. And then this week they go on to win and win, I think it's in the Dominican. So, like, I mean, it just shows you how fragile these relationships are. And it also shows you the difference. Like, you can go miscut, and have all these things happen, and then boom, win the next week.
Right.
The difference between good golf, like winning golf, and bad golf, it's like literally a fraction of an inch.
Yeah.
Which blows me away. And this goes out to all of you amateurs out there who are struggling too. You're always one shot away from figuring it out. You're always one shot away from getting your next best shot. You know what I mean? So, and even me right now, like, I'm going through some swing changes. I'm going to drop Shelby's name in this because she's, first off, I don't know if we've mentioned Shelby before. She is a phenomenal golfer.
Yeah.
Phenomenal golfer. Like, one stroke away from LPGA, phenomenal golfer.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate enough to work with her, and I am... I like to harass people for information because I like to pick people's brains.
Right.
I'm not afraid of getting a million opinions and then making my own decisions.
Right.
Like a normal, rational human being would. Imagine that. But I've been sending my shirt. I've been running a couple of drills and I hate them. I absolutely hate them. They feel awful. But I mean, those are the things that it takes to take your game to the next level kind of thing. So it just shows you that you're always one drill away or one swing fix away, or just hell, when JT, I forgot what tournament he was in, he was playing like complete shit. Like, it was awful. And he sent a video to his dad going like, what am I doing? I don't understand it. He's like, scoot a little bit closer to the ball. He went out the next day and shot like 64. Mm-hmm. Like that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
Just shoot a little bit closer to the golf.
Right.
And then everything changed. Like that is literally, I mean, this goes, amateurs everywhere. Like it's just, you're probably right there and you just don't know it yet. So don't be afraid to reach out to somebody that's a good golfer. Don't reach out to your buddy that's shooting 90 for golf advice. Like being a fitter is very frustrating to me when you're like, you come online and I'm a golf expert. I've been doing this my whole life, in-store fittings, online fittings. I've had a golf club in my hand my entire life. And then you go and ask your buddy who shoots 87 for advice. Like he doesn't have an answer for you. The answer he's going to give you is what works for him, which is not going to work for you. So,
and isn't working that well in general.
Interesting. What's that?
I just said, and isn't working very well for him either in general.
Yeah, exactly. So don't take gear advice from people that are shooting 85, 87. Just don't do it. It's frustrating and you don't need to be doing it. I got way off topic here. Matt Wallace winning. Matt Wallace winning was great. Stoked for him. I've always liked him. So that was huge. 15-year-old girl, youngest to ever qualify for the tournament at Augusta this year. Huge, huge. Yeah. And I was watching the interview with her today and they're asking her like, oh, what are you? She's like, I want to be the best ever. And they asked her, well, what about college? And it kind of reminded me of Akshay Bhatia. I think that's how you say his name. When they asked him if he was going to college, he said, no, I'm not. They're like, why not? Like, you go to college, play college golf. He's like, I want to be a pro golfer. I have no desire to go to college. He's like, what for? He's like, I'm going to be a pro golfer. And he's playing better every year. And I'm rooting for the kid. He's a lanky lefty. So hopefully he plays well. But she kind of gave a beat around the bush answer as far as going to college. She's like, well, I don't know. Maybe plans this and this and that. I bet you cash money if she somehow pulls off winning at Augusta, there's no way in hell she goes to college. Would you? Would you go to college at 15 years old competing at Augusta and you win? You're like, oh, I can't wait to get my degree in podiatry. Like
podiatry. That's hilarious. No, I probably would not. If I was that good at anything, really, I probably wouldn't have gone to college. I've never, I don't know if I've ever been that good at anything in my life. So yeah, I would have it. I think at 15 years old, I'd have a really hard time going to college. I mean, right now, I think, I don't know how smart, you know, this is getting way off topic, but I don't even know how smart going to college is based on how much you spend at college versus the kind of job you get to just pay back that enormous loan. So again, that's way off topic and we can talk about that another time. But I mean, I think if your goal is to be a professional golfer and you know that's what you're going to do and you want to grind out that kind of lifestyle, go do it. You know, people always say, well, you can fall back on your college degree, but it's like, yeah, I can also always go back to school too. So, again, I don't know. For me,
if you have a fallback plan, that tells me you're not super confident in your number one plan. If you look at anybody that's ever been great, like granted, Tiger went to college and everything like that. But I think that was like, he had more like a military like upbringing. He was very stoic, if that makes sense. But if you look at a lot of players, I mean, like look at Kobe, you know what I mean? Just like, there was no plan B. It's like, this is it. It's do or die. Work harder than everybody. Which, by the way, I've been on a huge Kobe Bryant like motivational kick lately, and it is amazing. That should be a drug you can inject because it feels fantastic.
Fair enough.
Just saying.
Mamba. So. Yeah. No, you're good. You're good.
Mamba mentality, baby. All right. So we have the Valero going on this week. It's not the most stacked field. Well, no. Before we go to the Valero, you played a golf tournament this weekend.
I did.
And you took the P790s out of the bag. So no more speed foam for you, which, by the way, I have a hot take on speed foam here. Unless you're a really bad golfer, it's not going to do you any favors. I find it to be super inconsistent and way too hot. Yeah. My hot take. I've tried it, and it's great if you want to pummel a golf ball. But if you want to do anything other than that, I don't think it's a good option for you.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. But you went from the P790s to the Hot Metal Pros, which is a huge upgrade in my opinion. What did you notice? What were the differences? What were the feel, the distances?
Yeah, I think, well, going back to what you were saying, I think we've talked about this before. You know, I think we both I don't want to speak for you, but I'm pretty sure I know it's true. I grew up with a dad who was very much old school when it came to like how you play the game of golf. I think similar like you, right? So we learned to play the game on feel. We both learned to play the game on like extremely difficult clubs that you probably wouldn't give a junior golfer nowadays to start playing. So like I was handed a set of like Haig Ultras and was like, hey, have best of luck to you. And so I think one of the things that I'm finally noticing after like a year of having the P790s in the bag was like, they're made for you to hit the ball far, and that's just not my swing or what I'm trying to do. Like I'm trying to hone in on distances. I'm trying to learn how to shape balls better. I think, you know, as much as I got excited about them and kind of refused to take them out of the bag just because of the distance I was getting, I was losing a lot more than I was gaining. And that was just true, like kind of based on the scores that I was shooting. And again, I'm not going to sit here and blame the P790s for my like handicap going up, but at the same time, fair enough. I've only played with them for one round, so we'll see. I was a little hesitant to get them, just because they are a thicker golf club and, you know, like you're kind of ego sits on your shoulder and talks to you a little bit about, you know, like, hey, you're a good golfer. Like you're a single digit handicap. You need a thinner golf club. Like you can play a blade or a CB or, you know, you need to be playing something that, you know, like the golf world says you should play. And I think that voice constantly chatters in my ear for sure of, you know, like you need whatever the pros are playing, whatever the toughest model to hit is. And it's just not true. You know what I mean? Like, and we've talked a lot about this over probably the last like 3 months or so about just like, why make the game tougher than it needs to be? You know, like you can go out there and shoot low scores with a more forgiving iron or something that's going to kind of at least help you get to the next step instead of trying to like, for me, take a bigger leap when I'm just not there. So like my golf game right now is just not at a place where I need to be hitting like blades or something like that. And so what I realized with the Hot Metal Pros is one, I'm like way more consistent, at least for the tournament I played this weekend. Like I felt my distances didn't change a whole lot. I may have been like a few yards shorter than the P790s. But it felt consistent. Like if it was 165, I felt like I was going to hit that club, you know, within 5 yards of that. Like I was going to be where I needed to be. And I think with the P790, sometimes you can get like you're saying, you can get it like really hot and you're flying the green. And you know, like there wasn't, I think, and the dispersion just can get like away from you if you're not where you need to be hitting like ball striking wise. And so, I think I'm at a point in my golf journey right now where I'm finally comfortable like putting a club in the bag that's just going to like make my score better instead of, wow, those really look nice, or they, you know, or they are the sexy choice, but then I go out there and just struggle. And for me, struggling, I know, is like different. You know, a 79 for me is a struggle, which is not supposed to be a brag. It's just like where I am in my game. But why not go out there and at least try to like shoot? I'm never going to get anywhere shooting 79 or 81 or 82. Like that's not my goal. And so I know a lot of people will be like, well, if you're a single digit handicap, you shouldn't be playing the Hot Metal Pros. You should be in something else. And I agree. Yeah. And I think it took me a little bit longer to get there than some other people, but, I did the same thing with my driver. I was playing the Triple Diamond Head in the Paradigm. And when I hit it well, when I'm hitting the driver well, it's awesome.
Great.
And I can hit it and I can hit fairways and I can, you know, hit my little power fade that I like. But on my bad days, and this is one of the things that you and I have talked a lot about, I've always played equipment that is going to perform on my best day instead of thinking about my worst day. And I think that's the biggest shift that I've made, is what is still going to play on your worst day? Because I guess I just refused to admit that my worst days were just not very good. and I thought I could salvage it. And then I get pissed when I go out there and put up an 82. So I switched back to the regular paradigm head, where I have a little more forgiveness. Yeah, it might not go as far when you strike the center of the face. I'm still not convinced there's a huge difference for me.
It still goes really far, though. Really, like, standard far. Head is not like a typical max head. It is right. A monster. It's still, by definition, a low spinning head.
Right.
Like, you hit the nail on the head, and you've heard me say it all in blue in the face, is make your bad days better.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what clubs you have in your bag. What score are you writing down on the scorecard? That's mm-hmm. what matters. That is literally the only thing that matters. I don't care if you're using giant mallet putters, game CB wedges, game improvement irons in like high draw woods. It doesn't matter. You go out there and shoot 75, that's 75. Nelly Korda has an HD drive in her bag. Yeah. Nelly freaking Korda, who has arguably one of the best swings in the world,
right,
is playing an HD driver, which everyone's like, oh, I don't want to draw body driver. Just create. I'm like, shut up, stop. Do you want to be in the fairway? Do you want to shoot better scores? Well, yeah, I'm like, this is what you need. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then going back to the 790 Hot Metal Pros, you know, 790s are made for distance. They're not made for tight dispersion. And somebody can argue with me with that as much as they want. I don't care.
Yeah.
Mizunos have some of the tightest dispersion than any other irons on the market. They have higher tolerances. They're Japanese forged. They have higher standards than 99.9% of the companies.
Right.
And for good reason. Their clubs perform a certain way. That's why they don't pay people to play their clubs.
Yeah.
They don't need to, because they're just that damn good. And the Hot Metal Pros, they almost like auto-correct your ball flight in the air. It is wild to see. Because I was there's near the end of me demoing them, I'm like, let's just get silly. And so I'm teeing it up. I'm trying to hit stupid shots. They never got so far away from me that I thought I'd be like, oh, great. Well, that would have been in the water, or that would have been in the trees. Like, that wasn't... never a situation I came across with a Hot Metal Pro. So why would you not put those in your bag other than ego?
Right.
Which I'm all about shrouding the ego. Get in touch with yourself, guys. Come on.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I know you're joking, but you're actually not. I mean, like, it's a real thing. And we all, you know, how many golfers are doing that? Like, how many golfers are playing a club that's too advanced for them, and then going out there and wondering why they're struggling? I mean, you and I deal with it every day when we're selling clubs. How many people come on and either say, like, well, I think I want a blade. Like, I don't like the bigger heads. It's like, well, what do you shoot? Well, I shoot, I'm struggling to break 100. And, or same thing about, like, well, you know, I hit the driver 210 yards, but I'd really like to try an extra stiff flex. You know, we run into that all the time. Now, clearly that's not my issue, but there's still a little bit of hubris there that it was like, I know some people are going to laugh and be like, the P790s are not even like a player's iron in the first place, so I don't know why you have hubris about it. And that's fine. But yeah, I think I'm just...
They cover a lot of ground.
They're versatile.
They cover a lot of ground.
For sure.
They cover a lot of ground. But yeah. They're a point-and-shoot iron. They're not... I mean, for me personally, the type of golf that I play, I flight shots, I shape shots, I couldn't play something like the P790 top to bottom, you know, as like 2-iron. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's a freaking monster, but I'm using that because I'm trying to rip one down the middle as far as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. I could never game them. I mean, maybe I could, but it's when you have a ball coming off the face that hot, it's really, really hard to control the spin and shape shots. I mean, you can do it. Like, I can bend a ball with the 790, but could I hit a 5-yard cut with it and make it stop? Maybe 1 out of 20.
Right.
You know what I mean? You give me a TCB or the Mizuno Pro 223s, I can hit a baby cut. I can hit a baby draw. I can sling it. But it's a great point-and-shoot iron, which I think a lot of golfers need to be worried more about playing point-and-shoot golf. Don't worry about shaping the ball as much. I mean, it's just – I'm not going to call it a lost art, but it's not something you really even see in the PGA Tour that anymore. Unless they change the golf ball, then maybe you'll see more of it. But it's – you don't need to be able to do all those things. If you want to, it's cool to be able to do. Don't get me wrong. Like, there's nothing more fun than hitting like a low burning cut that gets 6 inches off the ground. But how often do you need that golf shot?
Yeah.
And if you're hitting that golf shot, chances are if you're hitting that golf shot a lot, it probably means you need a new driver because you're not hitting the ball in play.
Right.
You never need that shot out of the middle of the fairway.
Sure. No, I think you're 100% right. And, you know, but what's wild about these is I almost feel like I can work the ball more with these than the P790s, but I have more control. Like you're saying, I don't feel like I have to, But I feel like there was a couple shots this week where I was like, I absolutely needed to hit just like a cut based on the lie or what was in the way. And I just felt like I could, but it wasn't like going to get away from me. Or, you know, like, hey, I wanted to hit a cut and I hit a draw, which has happened with the P790 just because, like you're saying, you catch it hot off the face and that ball's just gone and there's no correcting it. So, again, a lot of that's me and not the golf club, but I think there is something to be said for just, like, the difference in quality, which I'm now finally seeing after I've kind of, like, dropped the blinders on that part of it, which I've been pretty open to it in other parts of the bag, but for some reason, irons, I just couldn't get, like, my head around dropping those out of the bag. And so it really just took me, like, testing a lot and just actually, like, looking at the numbers and being like, even though I want this to be what I play, it's just not working for me right now.
And it's different maybe, when you game them.
Yeah. For sure. And so, you know, maybe one day soon, you know, I'll get back to another more, I guess, I hate saying like more player iron, but maybe we'll see, you know, like one day at a time, we'll see how I improve. But I'm always open to, more open to moving, like fluid moving throughout like what we would call player to game improvement versus just being like, well, this is what my handicap says, so I have to play this club.
Yeah, no.
Like, don't do that.
See, I went through a phase where I had like probably like four different sets of clubs in my bag in like 2 years. I did the standard Apexes with the Apex Pros. And I did it with graphite. I thoroughly tested out everything to see where my game would be. So I was testing everything just to see what would be best for my game, despite my handicap, despite everything else. I did the combo set and I loved it. The problem was just way, way, way too hot for me. It was just way too hot. That's all there was to it. Like the graphite shafts and Apex, standard Apex was just a monster. Like I'm hitting a 5-iron 230 if I nuke it. Like, yeah, that's great, but there's no place in that for my bag.
Right.
And I couldn't finesse it the way that I wanted to. And then I had another set in there. I think I went through two sets of Apexes. I think I had the 19s and the 21s. I think I had the combo set in the 19s. And I think I went all Apex Pros with the MMT shafts, the 21s. And I liked them, but they were a little too spinny for me. It could have been the shaft. It could have been the hollow construction. I said, me and hollow don't get along that well. I found that out as of recently. Then I went from that to the Rogue ST Pros. I'm like, okay, well, let's get into something that is supposed to be able to be shaped and workable, but is also super hot. And then again, same thing, hollow body. I just crushed them. It was just wasn't really playable for me. And then I went to the Mizuno, the Pro 223s. I'm like, okay, this is what you should have been doing. But I wanted to see for myself. You can go to the range and hit a million golf balls. If you're trying to be a serious golfer, it's going to take trial and error. You're going to buy some sets of clubs you probably don't like. It is what it is. You know what I mean? There's no way to really avoid it. I mean, unless you have endless resources where you can just go out and demo out sets of clubs left and right, but not many people have that. And then now I'm going to be in the TCBs, which I'm very, very confident in those. I'm, like I said, a little heavier swing weight. I'm ready for these irons. I feel like, okay, these are the right irons for me kind of thing. But it takes trial and error, and you got to see what works for you. Like hollow heads don't work for me. Speed foam does not work for me, like at all. It's just brute force, and there's nothing wrong with brute force. But I don't need brute force because I have enough speed. For somebody who has more of a moderate swing speed, not that you have a slow swing speed, Ryan, but yours is more moderate compared to mine. I have more action through my ball, and let me do the work. I just need the club to get the hell out of the way, kind of thing, you know. But something everybody needs to experiment with a little bit, and also just put the ego aside. You never know what's going to be good for you until you do it. You know, it's just, it kind of is what it is, unfortunately, you know.
Right.
Nothing against those irons I play. They're all great clubs. They just weren't good for me is what it was. And I like you in the Hot Metal Pros more than the P790s because it allows you to still be a little bit creative, but you still get the hot face from them. And they still look great in the bag. They might be a little bit thicker than you're used to, but there are some sexy irons, man.
Yeah.
Like they really, really are. Did you get all the wedges with it?
Yeah, I did. So I'm actually just testing out a set right now through Curated for kind of some of the stuff that you and I are working on behind the scenes. But I do have a set on order that kind of I've never ordered a set of irons with the wedges. Now, these are a little bit different than like ordering, say, like if you order the Paradigm X, they're going to kind of get just the irons in wedge lofts. These they've like specially made to be more like, here, let me see if I have it.
They're the JPXs. Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I know you do, but for our viewers, like it's more of a forged look to the wedge and it's much, much thinner than the iron, like through the thick part. So like you can kind of see that more traditional, this is the gap wedge. But yeah, I did order the sand and the lob through that just to try. You know, one of the perks of our job is we do have some resources that maybe the regular golfer doesn't have. So I'm able to try. I just want to see what it would be like. I'm not married to it. You know, this is kind of part of the trial process, trying to get ready for the actual golf season and tournament season is maybe these wedges or a combination of the actual wedges that go with the irons will help or hurt or change a little bit. You know, because I've always played, I mean, since I was a kid, I've always played like player wedges instead of the wedges that go with an iron set. So I thought, why not try it out, see if you like it. I really liked the gap wedge. I think I liked it better than like having a separate gap wedge in my bag, especially from Mizuno, because it just feels so good. We'll see on the sand and the lob. I'm a little more, not skeptical, but I'm cautiously optimistic about those, that I think I may still need to carry more of a player wedge or a speciality wedge in those two. But again, I'm open. You know, like we were just talking, I just am no longer married to a certain idea. I'm just going to go with what works. You know, back to the driver, I changed the paradigm triple diamond to the paradigm head. But in the three wood, I'm staying with the triple diamond just because it sits around the ball better. To me, it just inspires more confidence than the regular head does. And so even though the regular head's more forgiving, I hit the triple diamond head better just because of the way it sets up behind the ball. It makes me feel like I'm going to hit it better. And so I think that confidence makes me hit it better. Same thing with the hybrid. I'm going the more player hybrid. I'm going the more, more forgiving. I hate those terms sometimes. But yeah, so long story short, I did order the wedges in the irons.
So yeah, and going back to like when I was doing the club testing for my own, for myself, a couple of things that I did find in those sets that I loved. So it wasn't a complete and total loss. It wasn't like, oh, these are just the things I hate.
No.
I used to carry like a 48, 52, 46, 52, 58 degree wedge in my bag.
Yeah.
And then I actually started carrying, and so no P wedge or A wedge out of the set. Well, now I game, my irons go down through the A wedge.
Yeah.
And then I have like a 54, 58. And I found because I need more consistency from 140 yards in. And most of the time it's a, more or less a point and shoot shot anyways. And I can, in the irons I play, I can work them the way that I need to, but it's going to give me a more consistent distance than a player's wedge. Another thing that I'm doing too, which I'm getting ready to order here soon, and I'm so excited about this, is with the Rogue ST Pros being so hot, I'm trying to look for a new driving iron. I was going to do the UT, but I can only get in the 24 degree right now because Apex is kind of going through their transition where they're
right.
They're once they're done with their clubs, they're done because I think a new line's coming out. I think Q3, Q4. So I'm actually going to be getting the Rogue ST 3 iron, which is 18 degrees.
Pro.
The Pro, yeah. The Rogue ST Pro 3 iron. I'm throwing a graphite shaft in that. So when I had the 4 iron with the Project X IO shafts, if I like muscled it, I mean, I could crank it out there about 240, 235, 240. I'm thinking an 18 degree with the graphite shaft in it, it's just going to be dirty. And plus I've hit the irons before, so I don't need to learn to hit something I've never hit before.
Right.
So I'm actually really excited to build this. I've been tinkering with shafts. Like, should I do steel fiber? Should I do this? The shaft options on those irons for graphite aren't, they don't have a whole lot of them. And I think because nobody's trying to do what I'm trying to do with it. So that's perfectly fair. I'm really excited about trying this driving iron out. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
And the Apex line, that's pure skepticism too, by the way. Like I'm just assuming because you can only get your hands on a handful of sets. And I think they're 2 year. I think it's, they're coming up on cycle, I believe. So, but
right.
Golf industry, ever since COVID hit, everything has changed so much with release dates and stuff like that. So, and materials aren't always as easy to get a hold of as they used to be. So they might have been projected for this time, but it really comes out that time kind of thing. But it wasn't all for a loss. All those clubbing, I walked away with a lot of good knowledge. And also,
yeah,
what it told me about graphite shafts, I've been getting this question a lot. I'm sure you get this a lot, is when leads come through and they're asking you about graphite shafts and irons, especially when they have somewhat of a moderate to high swing speed. And to me, it comes down to one thing. How quick is your transition? Do you have a very smooth tempo? Do you have a smooth transition? Then graphite, you will absolutely benefit from it. And I have a relatively smooth transition, but I can get a little quick. And let me tell you, your misses are a lot worse. If you have a jerky swing with a graphite shaft in your irons, it's just don't do it. It just, unless you're willing to pay for the $115 upgraded shaft, then maybe. But like even then, just stick with steel. It tightens up the dispersion. I've had that question a lot lately. A lot. I don't know why. Yeah. I'm like, I've gone down this rabbit hole. And I'm glad I went down the rabbit hole because now I can tell people that. I can tell people like, listen, like I have done this and this is what I found out with it. You can keep it smooth, nice and smooth transition. Beautiful. You get some extra distance. It's going to feel great. It's easier on your body. You get quick at the bottom. You're having any weird jerking movements in your golf swing. Hell no. Hard right. No.
Yeah. I think I totally agree. I tinkered with graphite shafts in my irons. You know, graphite has come such a long way for sure. 100%. I remember when I was a kid, graphite, it was just like, well, it felt horrible. It just wasn't great. And then I hadn't hit graphite shafted irons in forever. And then, you know, obviously through kind of what we've done with our job, you get to hit some of those options. And I just couldn't believe, you know, like I think I knew it in my head, but until I actually did it, like how good some of those irons can feel with a graphite shaft in them. You're just not used to it because you've hit steel for 30 years. So like, I do think it's a great option for what you're saying. Like if you have a moderate tempo or a pretty smooth swing, I think it's a great option. I've sold a couple graphite shafts to lifelong steel players just because, you know, like you're going to feel less vibration. It's going to feel better. You know, again, you're not out there to try and win an event or, you know, you're not smashing through the golf ball at 110 miles an hour. So why not? Like it's going to feel better to you most likely. So, I'm not opposed to it. I think it's in the best graphite shafts for irons are in the best place they've ever been.
100%. And that's why I like the AeroTech shafts. I mean, usually there's a massive upcharge on them, but they are fantastic freaking shafts. Like it's like all the benefits of graphite, but with the dispersion of steel. That's what I'm leaning into with the driving iron. Cause that's what I had in my last one. And I noticed that my misses weren't as spinny or hooky or slicey as they could have been if it was just a standard graphite shaft in them. So it's definitely a good option if you have the right swing tempo. You don't have the right swing tempo, then I would stray away from it. There's no reason for it. If you're already struggling to hit greens and stuff like that, graphite isn't going to be the thing that saves you. It's not going to be the reason why you hit more greens. It's typically not the situation. There's exceptions to all rules, but for the most part, steel is still king. You're starting to see more graphite shafts, but it's still such a small percentage of the PGA players, European players playing it. So I wouldn't even,
No, meaning, yeah, I won't do it either, but there is a golfer that it's right for, especially the golfers that we help a lot of the time. For sure. Yeah. I think we're both excited about where our bags are going. So.
Oh my God. Yes. I can't wait to get my, like, I'm like checking the mail, my email every single day. I'm texting my wife while I'm working the sushi place. Like, do we get any packages? Do we get any packages? She's like, no. 2 hours later. Are you sure? Check outside again. I'm just a huge pain in the ass. But anyways, we have the Valero Texas Open this week. It's a pretty good field. I mean, it's not an elite field.
Yeah.
I like the field. I mean, we have Ricky in it, and I want Ricky to win. He played great. Ricky's so overdue. Like, it's amazing how he went from just being, like, bottom of the barrel to, like, he's creeping up the world rankings again. He's playing solid golf. He's not making any stupid mistakes. I remember watching him there for a year. I'm like, God, you suck. What happened? And now he seems to be back to where he's at. Now that he has the dad clubs in the bag. And, oh, perfect example of golfer ego here. All right. Ricky was playing the Ricky Fowler blades, which I don't know if you've ever seen. Those things are literal butter knives, but like they're copper butter knives. Like get a butter knife, put it in butterscotch. That is what he was hitting. Caramel. Yeah. I mean, caramel is probably better. And then he completely lost it. And now he's in a more, not a game. He's more of like a, I wouldn't even call it a player's distance iron. He's just kind of in a player's club, but it's not like a blade. And he has like the big mallet Versa putter, which, hey, big win for Odyssey getting that. He's playing better golf. Ricky Fowler, an excellent ball striker, dropped his blades to play something a little bit more forgiving. And he is coming back as a dominant, not a dominant force in golf, as a competitive force in golf. All right. So to all of you golfers out there that want to play blades and that are shooting your in the 80s, you're wrong. And this is a perfect example of that. This is I couldn't give you a better example of that. If you want to compare yourself to Ricky Fowler, I guarantee you, even now he could pick up blades and stomp you into the ground. So stop, for the love of God. Anyways, so we have Ricky Fowler. He's a clear pick to win. But listen, I mean, the top 15 here are really all names that I recognize. I'm sure you do too. We got Chris Kirk, number two. I still love Chris Kirk. We got Corey Conner, Putnam, whatever. Cam Davis, which I'm still waiting for Cam Davis to get his win, man. We got Siwoo. I love Siwoo. JJ Spahn, which, by the way, he played phenomenal in the match play.
He's my pick. So freak.
Oh, really? That's a solid pick. I can't argue with you on that one.
Well, he played well. And he's won the Valero Open before.
Oh, good point. Very good point. I forgot about that. Yeah, Spahn is a good pick. Now I keep thinking about it. Now we got Kuchar, who now has more match play wins than Tiger Woods, which, by the way, now that it's the end of the Dell match play, Tiger Woods is the only person to defend the WGC match or the Dell match play event, and he did it 8 times. That's a stupid statistic. So in case you ever wonder how good he was, just a reminder why he's the GOAT. Then we have Nick Taylor. Obvious reason to like this kid. Got Ryan Fox. I love Ryan Fox. Nikolai Hogard, who lost to Matt Wallace to the Corrales Hypoteca. Hogard brothers, if you do not follow them or pay attention to them, you should. They are freaks of nature. If they, the moment they get their maiden win, I'm convinced they're going to tear it up. They're going to be a dominant force for the European team. I'm personally horrified of them in the Ryder Cup. They're scary guys. I mean, they're like not scary looking. They look like very gentle men, but like they are scary on a golf course. You got Matt Wallace, Thomas Dietrich, Adam Shank, I think is a very good pick this week. I love Adam Shank this week. And then we got Ben Martin in there. So yeah, it's not a star-studded field, but man, no. This is a strong field. Like,
yeah,
there is no clear winner here. It's going to be neck and neck. I think they're all fighting for the last spot in the Masters. I believe the 90th spot in the Masters goes to the winner of this tournament. So they're all playing for something bigger than the money. Huh, what a concept that is, Liv. Anyways, but they're playing for something bigger than a paycheck or any of that. They want to play in the Masters, and that's why they're here. I hope Ricky does it. I mean, I think Ricky should be playing in the Masters. I think he should get an invite anyways. I think they should boot one of the LIV guys off because they have obviously no respect for the PGA Tour or the game. Why are you going to give them one of the spots that Ricky should have? It's beyond me. I get it. It's a separate entity, and Augusta does its own thing, and they're kind of like a neutral party. They're Switzerland of golf, but it is still bullshit that Ricky doesn't get to play, but Patrick Reed gets to come back. Like, that doesn't... I mean, just from a golf fan perspective, who would you rather see out there? Ricky or Patrick Reed? Like, it's a no contest. I don't care if Reed won it before or not. No contest. I want Ricky there. Get rid of Patrick Reed. Get rid of... No, don't get rid of Mickelson. They need Mickelson there, but you can get rid of him. I don't care.
No, don't get rid of Mickelson. I still have a soft spot for Mickelson somewhere.
Somewhere? Like, I've been trying to find it lately.
No, it's not that. It's not that. I didn't really ever feel betrayed by Phil. I know some people felt betrayed by Phil Mickelson. I don't know. I know all of the things that are there to dislike Phil Mickelson. Like, there's plenty there to dislike Phil Mickelson, but there's this I don't know. Have you ever had those guys where it's like it doesn't matter kind of what their behavior is like? You just always like them. I don't know why that is. I have a friend like that, and I won't say his name, but there's like, I have a really good friend back home who's just like kind of an idiot, and he did stupid things, and you're just like, I can't help but love that guy. That's kind of how I feel about Phil Mickelson a lot. I don't know. Yeah.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say it was me. I was like, wow.
No, not you. Yeah, no.
I'm pretty sure I probably have somebody like that. It's not off the top of my head, because there's some people I've caught myself. I have one, but I'm not saying it out loud because I'm going to get canceled so quick. I have one guy I absolutely love. He is an actor, and everybody hates him now, and that's fine, but I still love him. Braveheart's like my favorite movie of all time. So, like,
I'm gonna give it away.
I love Braveheart. So Patriot, funny. Savage, man. Like,
yeah, no, I think there's. I'm not even gonna give away mine. But I have an actor too that's not that one. That everybody's canceled as well, and I just like can't get past how good their movies are. So,
I'm curious now.
Yeah, well, we can talk off camera.
Is he canceled for worse reasons than my guy?
I mean, it's kind of hard to top my guy. Yeah, I think so.
Is it Bill Cosby?
No. You put the bling in the bill.
That's funny.
Yeah, man.
Dude. Yeah. I was hoping it was Bill Cosby. Like, damn it, you got me.
No, gosh, God, no.
Next episode, you show up in your Bill Cosby shirt and hat.
Kids say things.
I have one of his old original vinyls.
Yeah, it's
of his stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
that's having an old doctor.
Yeah. Some of his, I mean, his old stand-up, you know, like his Noah stuff is hilarious. It's, you know, I mean, again, we can go, this is our podcast, so we can talk about whatever we want, but I do think there's this interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
It brings up an interesting dichotomy because, I mean, we can even relate this to golf, like Tiger Woods,
yeah,
and all the things he's done on the golf course, kind of thing, off the golf course, and what he's done on the golf course is like, you know, I understand that these people may have done terrible and said terrible things. I don't think anyone's innocent in this field, though. So for anybody going like, I can't believe they did that, I would not. I'm like, okay, just stop. I'm sure you have plenty of terrible things you've said and done in your life that you're just not admitting to. Maybe I just like to think that because I've said and done terrible things. It makes me feel better. I don't
know.
But can you separate? For me, I have the ability to separate somebody like this is their craft. They're amazing at this. And they're an amazing artist or athlete, whatever it might be. And I appreciate and I respect them and I love them for that. I have never once looked to a celebrity. And if you do this, I'll just say it's our podcast. If you do what I'm about to say, you need to reevaluate how your choices and the people you look up to. If you aren't able to separate the person, the person's craft from the person, just why are you so invested in their personal life and the terrible things they've said and done? I watch movies to be entertained. Yeah. I watch sports because I love seeing impossible things be done. You know, even if that person does terrible things, I'm not going to not watch this amazing experience for the sake of my own, some moral or noble battle. Like, first off, you're not winning that battle. You're not. You can think you're moral. You can think you're on a high horse. You might sleep better at night because I didn't watch that because I saw what they said and I don't like that. I'm like, fine. Well, guess what? 800 million people did and I don't think they care that they lost you. It's kind of like when a woman walks into the restaurant and comes, well, I'm never coming back here again. It's like, oh, really? Do you think we might find another customer another day? Like, it's just, like, get over yourself when you're like that. You know, I'm not justifying what these people are doing, but I'm not going to not watch a great actor because they did something terrible. I mean, there are obviously lines to this. I mean, if they went in like a murderous killing spree, probably shouldn't watch the guy. Okay. But somebody says some insensitive things or things you found insensitive. I'm sure somebody laughed at it.
Yeah. No, I think you're bringing up an interesting point. And I think where I really, I don't know if I want to say struggle. I think where I kind of, I just don't know kind of where to come down on this sometimes, or what kind of confuses me about this whole argument is we will cancel some people, but we won't cancel others. And I don't know what it is about. I don't know if it's because, I don't know if it's their commitment or like their contribution to their craft. For instance, we have canceled Bill Cosby, and Bill Cosby did horrible things. And I totally get why we have canceled him, just because of what came to light. You know, it's really hard to be like ever, you know, America's dad when you're roofing people for 30 years straight.
30 years straight of roofing people. It's not funny. It's just.
No, it's not funny. It's and I get why you're laughing because it's just kind of like crazy.
It's a long time to roofie people.
Right. And but like, for instance, Michael Jackson, we have basically let off the hook. What we've done, you know, in what you're saying, we have separated his craft, which he is a once in a generation talent, from a singing, dancing, you know, like, he's brilliant in that aspect, and a complete unfortunate train wreck of his either own doing or his upbringing or whatever reason he was a train wreck, and did some horrible things, and, you know, whatever. We've somehow, like, separated that from him. And again, I'm not saying, like, Bill Cosby has the same creative genius as Michael Jackson, but there's an interesting, you know, we do it. I mean, Tiger Woods, we have forgiven him his transgressions, and we don't even hold his scandal against him. Yet we have canceled, you know, let's even use Phil versus Tiger, right? We've basically canceled Phil because of his, we have said, like, hey man, you took blood money. You knew you were doing it and you fully participated in it. So we are now, like, we have shunned you, you know, and Tiger has done this pretty terrible thing, albeit 12, 13 years ago. And we've let him kind of off the hook a bit. I love Tiger Woods and I'm going to follow him till the day that I die or the day that he dies, whatever comes first. But I just think it's an interesting argument to be made. I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong. I'm not saying he should be or he shouldn't be. I just think it's interesting that we've seemingly let some people off the hook. You know, the Me Too movement, we let some people off the hook. We let them kind of come back, and others, we're not letting them come back. And where is that line? Like, where do you decide, like, this person meets the threshold of never coming back and this person hasn't quite hit it, so they're still allowed to be a part of whatever this community is?
And yet Cardi B runs free, and that disgusts me.
I mean, you're making a good, yeah. I mean, it's all connected. Like, why is, what is the equation?
Yeah. She tweeted it. She tweeted, I drug men and stole their money. And everyone's just like, okay. And I'm like, what the, what? Like, no. Like, she put it out on her social media platform. Everyone's like, oh, whatever. Meh. Well, you know about Tiger and his girlfriend, how he left her there. He had somebody take her to the airport and then locked her out of the house.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That is just, like, boss level of breaking up with somebody. But two, in his defense, and this is going to sound insensitive, just to warn everybody, she does look like she carries a good amount of in her, if you know what I mean. Like, she has that look in her eye, you know? Like, I can see why you'd have to put her at a different location and drop her off and then, like, go run screaming home and lock the doors. I've dated a lot of girls. I've seen that look in their eye before. And every time I've seen that look, it's never endable. You don't break up with those girls to their face ever. Unless you're, like, in a padded cell, maybe, like, there's a sharp object nearby, you're screwed.
Oh boy. We are running off the rails here. I would like to make a disclaimer that his dating views do not reflect the views of Parnun or his other co-host. No, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't have an answer for that, but I get what you're totally get what you're saying.
We're getting what the media is saying, but in my opinion, Tiger being the guy, and he's had numerous girlfriends, he's broken up with them all, or they've broken up with him, it's never been a big deal. For him to go to such extremes to break up with this one, I feel like there's some details that we probably don't know. And I'm not everyone's quick to blame Tiger because of his past transgressions. Like, I don't think he's dumb. Tiger's not dumb. He's not dumb enough to make the same mistake twice. He's not dumb enough to put himself in that position again, especially after, I don't know, how many surgeries and coming back and golf all over again. Like, the dude is like one. He's a bad step away from ruining his career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, why would he possibly do anything that could jeopardize him in that way, shape, or form? Like, he's too smart for that. He is. He's not. There's some people out there that have a lot of money that you think are smart that aren't that smart. Tiger is smart. He's a very intelligent dude. So I think he did it, and I think he had good reason for doing it. We'll never know, and he'll play it close to the chest, but man, I would love to hear why. Like, why did you feel the need to go to such extremes to do this? Like, oh, yeah, no, honey, we're going on a vacation. I'll meet you at the airport. Never shows up to the airport. Oh, yeah, by the way, we changed all the locks. It's funny. It's
wild story if true, for sure. Wild story if true.
It is hysterical, man. All right. Well, there's our podcast for the night. Your pick with JJ Spawn. I'm gonna ride the Ricky Fowler train, man. I'm gonna do it. I like Ricky. You know, he's been playing well all year. I think it is meant to be. It would be magical if he did this, and I think Ricky is due for some magic in his life. Yeah, I think I like Ricky. I like JJ Spawn, though. That's a solid freaking pick, man.
Thank you.
You might be right.
I'm riding Ricky
because I like Ricky.
Yeah, I mean, he played so well at the match play, and I know that doesn't necessarily translate, but having won there before, playing well, course obviously suits him a little bit. He knows how to play it. You know, not the strongest field, though we like weak field, so I think it's a perfect place for JJ to kind of like slip into the winner's circle again. But I mean, I would love to see Ricky. My heart wants Ricky. My mind is telling me JJ, so we'll see what happens.
See, and it's unfair to call this not a strong field, though, because if you you look at the field, you know, you have Corey Connors who hangs in there with the big dogs week in, week out. Ricky's always hanging in there. Chris Kirk's always hanging in there. Siwoo is always in the conversation. JJ Spawn is starting to climb up a little bit. You know what I mean? Matt Wallace just got a win. You have Adam Shank who almost won a couple weeks. Like, this is not a weak field. Right. This isn't what's his name? Oh, I forgot his name. That's too late. I forgot. Okay. I can see his face. Ben, no. What? I saw him shank a chip once and he lost his mind. What?
The guy from the thing with the, you know, the place. You know, that guy.
Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. What is his name? Bo Hostler.
I love Bo Hostler.
That's his name. I like Bo Hostler. But I mean, like, it's not like he's ranked seventh in the field. You know what I mean? Like, if he was like in top 10 of the field, like I would consider that a weak field. And no disrespect, because he stopped me into the ground. I love the kid. I think he has a crazy amount of potential. But I'm just using that as some perspective. I would love to play golf against him. Let's go.
No, I mean, I would just love for Bo Hostler to be better. Like, I want to see Bo in the conversation. I was so excited when he was coming up, and I just wish he was. I wish he was more there.
Didn't he have like a back injury or something like that?
Have some injuries and he's just never been the same. But he just like, again, I know a lot of those guys get touted as kind of like, hey, he's going to be the next big thing. And he was kind of there for a minute, made that noise. I think at the US Open or somewhere, he was there. He was like at a major, like as a young guy, even an amateur, he was right there. And that was kind of the start of his like, very quick up spike before it kind of down and then is leveled off into mediocrity.
He'll play well, or he'll play like how he usually does, and he'll spike up there. Like, oh, this is the time. He's like, nope, that was just 1 week. Then he disappears for like 5 weeks. Yeah. And then he peaks up and then he falls back down. So he's got the game though. So anyways, hope you guys loved the new episode. We went off the rails a little bit. I hope it was entertaining for you. We already said, please like, subscribe, share, leave reviews, share with your grandma and your cats. Everyone, crocodiles can climb trees. I found that out the other day. But make sure you really do like and subscribe and do these things. It helps us so much. We're going to do this regardless. So just be nice if we had more people listening to us and we can engage and get some hosts or some hosts. We are the hosts. Get some guests on here. Yeah, let's get some hosts on here.
Let's just replace these two hosts. These guys are absolute garbage.
Like an amateur hour over
here. Jeez, please.
But please like, subscribe, share, do all the stuff and things. Enjoy your Wednesday. We're on the cusp of the Masters. It's an amazing week. I already let you know I'm bringing in my TV from the garage. I'm going to have Amen Corner on one TV, the main feed on another TV, my laptop set up for work all weekend, and espresso martinis. It's going to be a good weekend.
I will have the same thing sans the espresso martinis, probably some sparkling water.
Maybe a little lemon in there.
Yeah, and a baby crying in the background. All right, everybody.
Crying in the background.
Have a great week. We'll be back next week. Masters preview. We love you. Peace.
Deuces.